This hour of the Overdrive podcast is brought to you by Felix. Embarrassed to talk about erectile dysfunction in person? Felix can connect you to a doctor online to assess ED and, if applicable, deliver treatment to your door. Visit felix.ca.
It is Mail It In Friday on TSN 4. Gord Miller sitting in for Brian Hayes along with Jamie McLennan and Jeff O'Neill. So, the captain was not feeling well yesterday. We all agree on that.
Yeah.
So he's sick today. I'm sitting in. Happy to be here with you guys. I have a question, though.
What do you got?
Has anyone else noticed that Hayes is never sick on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday? Has anyone else?
Lord, let me follow up with that.
Okay.
What level of sickness are you at to not do, let's say, a Toronto Maple Leaf game?
Well, if I got no voice. I mean, there's a certain point where you're not doing the audience any favors if you got no voice. Like, if you're sick, and I think we've learned this through the pandemic, if you're sick, stay home. But, I mean, if my voice is scratchy, yeah, I'll go. I mean, I think I've missed two games in 31 years at TSN. But
yeah, but you're in a different situation. Like, it's not exactly like they can pluck anybody to go in there and do the job that you're doing.
No. How do you think I got the job?
Yeah, you had one with me, I think it was. You just had no voice.
Ottawa.
In Ottawa. Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, I had no voice. Yeah, it happened then. And it happened playoff game in Detroit one night. You had no voice. Like, if, you know, that's just. So I'm just curious, though, because I'm going to have to go look through it because I do have records of this because I do get the invoice TSN for these. But I don't think he's ever been sick on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday.
Yeah, never. It might be. I mean, this show is known for taking long weekends.
Gord, you want to know what his other special talent is? And I've never seen a grown-ass man have this ability to do it.
What's that?
If he goes on a guy's weekend or something, and he comes home Sunday...
Jamie, don't you dare.
Right.
Just saying. Don't you dare.
Okay. No, I'm just saying, he goes on a guy's weekend, and on Sunday, he'll call in sick for the Monday because he just
can't recover.
He cannot get it together. He can't regroup. And we're talking about a Friday and Saturday night. That Monday, I've seen it numerous times. He's done. He's out of the picture. He cannot do it. Right, Noodles, you got to confirm that.
I will confirm that is the recovery on Hayes struggles. That's what it is. Okay. The hangover lasts for 2 to 3 days for him, whereas, you know, I may not be great coming off. I had an incident in Vegas where I was choking on some smoke.
Yeah, hang on. Just to be clear, you blamed it, and I'm going to bust myself in a second, but you blamed it on the smoke machine in the Vegas arena.
There was. I mean,
there was a smoke machine. However, I don't think that's the reason you were coughing and scratchy voiced on the air.
I couldn't. The late night, the cigarette,
there
all of that
type
of stuff.
There was some code of conduct behavior that affected
that. Agreed.
I will throw myself under the bus. Because Jamie was there. Last Sunday, we did a game together in Ottawa. And the night before, I was in Toronto, and a friend was in town for the Hall of Fame inductions, and we were out. Took it deep in Toronto, early morning flight to Ottawa. And I don't encourage this kind of behavior. I don't, you know, it's old school. But, you know, if you're gonna run with the big dogs, you got to bark the next day, right? And I will admit that during that Ottawa broadcast, it was Ottawa-Calgary, I was probably not in optimum condition.
I thought you were good, and you grinded through. That's what a pro does, is you fought through. And we had a lot of fun, and the broadcast ended up pretty, you know, being pretty good.
I went back to the hotel in Ottawa. I fell asleep at 9:15 and woke up, and my alarm went off at 8 a.m. the next day.
I don't know if you guys have met anyone like this in your travels, and I'm not going to mention the person that I know like this. But do you know someone who can go out very late at night and 100%. See them in the lobby at 6 a.m. reading the paper like they actually never did anything? I know only one person in the league, and I'm not going to mention his name because he's such a cool dude and he'd probably get mad at me. But he was in the media, and I'd see him, and I'm like, hang on a second. I think I saw that guy. And my eyes would be bloodshot, and I would just be moping around. And this guy would have the paper out in a coffee, and everyone, if you looked at him, not that he had any obligation to call in for curfew or anything, but it looked like nothing, like he did nothing.
Yeah. There's a GM in the league who I think is a robot built by the CIA to demoralize Russians. Like, I swear to God, I was with him in a bar at 3 in the morning drinking Jagermeister one night, and the next morning he called me at 6:30 and wanted to go play golf. And I thought he was kidding. He was in the lobby of my hotel. He's always immaculately dressed. Like, it just bounces off him. Like, I swear, if he walked outside in a hurricane, the water would bead on him. Like, I don't know. I do know people like that.
Ah, it's crazy. And I'm a disaster.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Like, yeah. It's a talent. That's what it is. It's a talent. And, I mean, I'm a guy who doesn't sleep a lot, but, you know, I'm more about, as I get older now, that's the biggest thing, is the recovery is so much tougher. And, you know, now I don't, like I say, I know enough about alcohol. I don't know anything about weed and some of the things that become legal recently. So I don't know how my body reacts to that, to be honest. And nowadays these kids have a choice and they go, okay, I'm going to go this way or go that way. I need a lot more education on that situation because, you know, there are people that'll drink until they fall over. As long as they don't drive, it's legal. Yeah. The other stuff, gummies and, you know, all of that type of stuff. Don't know much about it, but, you know, I think I'm willing to learn respectfully. That's the biggest
thing. I was canoeing down a river of tequila last Saturday night, and I won't do that again for a very long time.
Exactly.
That one hurts.
Getting too old.
That was poor decision-making on my part, and I fully confess. Coming up on the program, we'll talk about things that have nothing to do with late night out and all that stuff. Ross Atkins of the Blue Jays will join us, the GM of the Blue Jays, at 4:25. Brian Burke at 5:05. We're going to give Leaf tickets away with our Name That Leaf final clue and a chance to call in and win tickets to the Leaf game December the 1st against Colorado. So that'll be good. Also, Pierre LeBrun will join us, and Leo Routens will talk about the Raptors, who won the wrong of a score last night. But let's talk a little bit. I've been waiting to talk to O about this all day. The Blue Jays have won the Leafs have won 5 in a row. They've won 9 of the last 10. Like, how excited are they? We had this conversation. Remember, Jeff, we talked about this the last time I hosted the show in September, about how I thought the regular season had meaning.
Yes.
I don't think this is a sleepwalk season. I think it's important for the Leafs to change the way they play a little bit, but to have a good regular season. How excited are you about the fact that the Leafs have won 5 in a row and 9 of the last 10?
I think I'm excited, Gordon. I think that the players are kind of responding to Brendan Shanahan's comments, and I think that they're probably, I mean, you know, at the end of the season, he said, we have good players, we like our players, and we want to keep our players, which really makes sense. They're good players, they do make a lot of money, but he backed them up, and everybody was calling for them to trade somebody, trade Mitch Marner, trade William Nylander, but he came out and said, we got good players, and we like them, and we want to keep them. So as of right now, they're kind of holding up their end of the bargain, and that's the big talk that's going on right now. People just really never seem to be happy because there's a grocery store not far from my condo. I walk to it, and I get it all the time where it's just, what about this? What about that? Yeah. And it's almost like some fans, they walk in there, and it's the same guys all the time. They're like, yeah, it's great right now. And it's almost like they can't enjoy it and can't buy into it and enjoy it because they're only thinking about one thing, and we know what that is. It's the playoffs down the road.
Would you rather they were losing?
Well, no kidding. I don't understand. No,
I have the same thing at a grocery store. At my local Sobeys, there's a guy who works there, great guy, and he's the same thing. He's like, you know, when's it going to fall off? When's it going to fall? Well, just enjoy it.
And hopefully there's a change. And obviously, if things go south again in the playoffs next year, you might think that there might be some kind of reaction to it, whether it be a change of roster, one of the players has moved in. I don't really know. But as of right now, it's kind of nice if you're a fan of the team to kick your feet up at night and watch them play. They're playing pretty damn good. They're the hottest team in the league right now.
Well, here's the thing that I think Toronto fans should be most excited about. Last year, the Leafs scored 2 goals in a game, like not counting shootout goals. They scored 2 goals in a game 12 times. Okay, so 12 times they scored 2 goals. They won 4 of those games. This year, already, they have played 5 games where they've scored 2 goals. They've won 4 of the 5. So
that's
better. Like you look at that game last night against the Rangers. That was a low event game against a team that had won 4 in a row. The Rangers had won 4 in a row coming in. And they grounded out, and they won a 2-1 game.
Yeah, but they weren't exactly – that was not a game of perfect by any means.
No,
and I said it last night after the game. A goaltender, and Noodles knows better than anyone, they can save everybody a lot of video. because breakdowns that lead to opportunities and stupid plays and stupid backhand passes and giveaways that lead to chances for the opposition, when the goalie makes the save, a lot of times you're not sitting in front of a room with a TV and a screen and you're seeing it again. But when the goalie lets him in, it's hell because you're like, okay, we suck. We got to watch this. We got to go through it. We got to get better as a team. But when the goaltender's good, and Campbell, I mean, what else do you need to see? Like, he's dialed in right now.
They clobbered the Rangers on faceoffs. I mean, they killed them on faceoffs. They dominated possession. Three times in the last 5 minutes, they gave up some excellent chances. But, you know, the goalie's part of the team, too.
That's right. And to win to win with the way the rules are now, Gord, I think you got to have you got to have excellent goaltending.
Well,
there's going
to
be chances with Doodles.
And this was a game, like I was saying, you had to do the panel, and Gord, you were doing the game. So Hayes and I finished the show last night, and I had this feeling. I was like, this could be a 6-5 one. You know, like Shesterkin had an amazing run. Campbell's had an amazing run. I'm like, you know, we're talking about the goalies so much. I'm like, I wonder if the star forwards are going to take over on both sides, Panarin and Matthews and them. And honestly, Gord, you said it, low event game. The Maple Leafs had three high danger chances, and I believe the Rangers had six. So it wasn't a game of perfect, but it wasn't this game that was like wide open and just chance after chance. There were just little pockets of it. And I'll say, I like the way the Leafs are playing on a lot of different levels. This stretch reminds me, now last year I still throw it out the window because you're playing the same six teams, and by game eight against the same team, you're like, God, we got, you know, you see these guys again. But there was that pocket where the Leafs played the Oilers three games in a row in Edmonton. Beat them, three different goalies. There were shutouts, and
I think they beat them like 13-1 or something. Didn't they?
Something ridiculous where, you know, they shut out the first game or have a close game, and we're like, okay, McDavid and Draisaitl are going to break through, and then they didn't the next game, and then they didn't the next game, and you're like, this team is playing really tight. And the four lines and the guys who – it wasn't just Matthews and Marner and, you know, Nylander and Tavares. It was, you know, their depth guys were not only chipping in, but they were effective.
Right.
And, you know, what I'm seeing from the Leafs right now in this stretch is effective play from people that are not named those top four. I don't like the core four. I don't like using that term. People are getting frustrated with it. But I just I think that their depth is starting to settle in, and that's a good sign for the Leafs.
Gord, you speak to kind of executives and GMs more than I do. What do you think Toronto's approach after disappointment? Would you say a GM would be somewhat gun shy when it comes to like the transaction, the first round pick going after the Foligno, things don't pan out? I don't think Foligno played well. The team didn't go through the first round. And I mean, and every year it started out with Plekanec, Boyle types, and it wasn't that much, second round picks or whatever. But when it doesn't work out, like at some point, do you say we're just going to go with this group, or does it have to mandatory be we got to show the team that these guys are good enough and we have to make that transaction?
No, it's a great question, because I think when you talk to managers around the league, when you look at the history of great teams in the playoffs, they've had disappointment. You know, I mean, look, the Islanders were called chokers before they won four in a row. The Oilers coughed up a fur ball against the LA Kings, you know, the miracle on Manchester. You know, Detroit, I mean, look at the Red Wings in the 90s, right? Lose 92, 93, 94, go to the final in 95, lose in 96. It takes a while. You got to keep knocking on the door. And I think most managers would say the Leafs have a good team. There's some flaws in it, but with the salary cap, every team has flaws.
Right.
You just keep knocking on the door and you just keep banging away at it. And hopefully one time you break through. I mean, if you play that series against Montreal a bunch of times, you probably win it more often than not. But you didn't. Mm-hmm. One of these years, you. I mean, they're not a bad team. I mean, they have excellent star players. You know, I think some would question the construction. Like, the one thing I hear about the Leafs from managers is the roster construction. Four forwards making half the cap. People wonder if you can win that way. But at the same time, how many teams in the league would rather have their roster than Toronto's?
I don't think a ton, Gord. And you're right about the four players, because there's give and takes with any argument, right? Because I always bring in the Tampa Bay Lightning and how they have success and how they win in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's the same damn guys scoring every night. It's Braden Point. It's Palat. It's Kucherov. It's Stammer. It's Yeah. Sorelli, it's the same cast of characters, big goals are scored by the Colemans, the Gaudreaus, and the Gord. So it's like, who's going to be the Coleman? Who's going to be the Gord? Is it Pierre Engvall? Can Pierre Engvall, for a playoff run, be a Yanni Gord or something to that effect? Well, that is a big question. Camper, and the big guys also have to do it.
Cam for Kasha might be the people you'd look at, but I would say this. The difference is Tampa has the best defenseman in the NHL and the best goalie.
Right.
So there's a difference. I mean, Tampa has a 25-minute-a-night defenseman who I think most people would say over the last 5-6 years has been the best D-man in the league. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be a difference. But no, I
you think that's mandatory, Gord, having that alpha dog?
Well, it has been. I think if you look back, you know, the Carolina Hurricanes in 06 won the Cup really with, you know, you don't want to say a no-name defense, but didn't have a true number one. Right. But since then, every team that's won the Cup since then has had a Norris Trophy caliber defenseman. Anaheim in 07 had two of them, right?
Yeah.
In Pronger and Niedermeyer. Detroit in 08 had Lidstrom. 09, Pittsburgh had Letang. Then you get into Duncan Keith in Chicago, Drew Doughty in L.A., Chara in Boston, Letang. Now, he's in and out of the lineup when Pittsburgh won in 16 and 17. You had John Carlson in Washington. You had Alex Petrangelo in St. Louis. And then back-to-back for Hedman. So I would say there has been a common thread there, yes.
Well, you're right. But I think bigger picture, if we're going to question the roster construction if they struggle.
And, yeah, but right
you know,
now, I mean...
They're not struggling right now, and you can't sit there and pick holes in something that – because it's not like – even, for example, you're like, the goalie stole another one. Jack Campbell's been great, and he deserves all the accolades. But, you know, can you think of 5 ridiculous saves he's had to make, you know, in the last 3 games? He's made really good saves because the team is playing well in front of him, and he's given them the confidence. And I think this is the best this group has played – you know, that I've seen in the last couple of years as far as complete games. And it's not, hey, Matthews got 2-1 and Marner did that. Like, Matthews has 7 goals, you know, and we haven't even seen him break out yet. We haven't seen him go on a stretch where he's got 9 goals in 6 games. That's coming. That's around the corner somewhere. Like, I don't doubt top players. You eventually, they break through. I think this group is playing really well systematically. That helps on nights where it is a kind of a dead game or a low event game. Because in the high event games, you know those guys will take over. The question comes back to what you're saying, is can they get it done with the Engvalls? I've been hard on Engvall because I just don't see a defined role for him. He's a good skater. He's a big body, but he doesn't punish players. He doesn't, like, there's...
I'm not necessarily talking about Engvall noodles, but it's like... You got to have those star guys chipping in every night, and Mitch Marner's got to be Braden Point, and Matthews has got to be Kucherov, but they also have to have some guys step up and be Gaudreau, Coleman, Gord, and it's got to be just – there was a one-goal game, I think Game 7 against the Islanders. It was Yanni Gord that got the winner. It was a shorthanded goal, and it's you got
to
have it.
But, to your point, Tampa closed out 4 series last year with shutouts in all 4 series.
Yeah.
Right? Like – And in some of those games, they're outplayed. So you know, the eraser, that goalie, and I think, you know, we talked about this, again, back in September, we talked about this. Jack Campbell had never played more than 26 games in a year. Is he a guy that can play 50-plus? Well, the way they're managing him, the way the schedule's working out, right now it looks like yes.
Right.
Well, right now there's no option for that. Noodles is the goalie guy. I think they were thinking about a tandem situation where it was
– right.
I don't know what kind of split they were looking at, but the other guy's not playing. And when he gets back, I don't think he's going to play a ton. How could you when you have Campbell playing the way he is? I think with Jack Campbell, it's almost like every day is a new situation of, okay, let's see what he's got now. Can he keep it going?
Right.
Because it's all new to him.
It is, and that's it's scary but exciting because, you know, we've seen goaltenders get good in their mid to late 20s. And I bring up... You know, Devin Dubnyk, Darcy Kemper, Timmy Thomas. Now, Thomas was a weird one because he went to Finland, and I remember Mika Kiprusoff going, that guy with the weird helmet was like the best goalie in Finland for 4 years. Like, actually, Kiprusoff knew of Tim Thomas. That was the funny thing because the guy was a legend in Finland. But to my point is there was some goaltenders that got a lot more mature physically and mentally in later 20s, and they kind of took off and really had great careers. Campbell's right in that wheelhouse. He's got a good team in front of him. but it is new for him going through the process of playing three games in a week, travel, all of that type of stuff. And you don't have technically somebody that they can go to right now. Joseph Woll, he got it done in Buffalo the other day. He's going to have to play this weekend. They got back-to-back this weekend. I think they've got the Islanders on. What do they have? Pitt and the Islanders, I believe. And so, you know, one of them's going to have to give Jack Campbell a night off. But this is all uncharted territory for him.
Well, 3 weeks ago, fans were really upset. The Leafs were winless in four. They lost in Carolina. Remember the loss in Carolina, 4-1? And Sheldon Keefe said, I saw some good things, and people mocked him for that. Well, they've won 10 of 11 since then.
Right.
So they've won five in a row. It's actually, I said 9 to 10 earlier. It's actually 10 of 11. So they, you know what? Enjoy it.
Exactly.
When you're winning, enjoy it. Still to come on the program, we're going to have a giveaway of Leaf tickets. We're going to have our NFL picks. We got to talk about that with O. Pierre LeBrun will join us, Leo Routens, Brian Burke. And when we come back, it'll be Blue Jays GM Ross Atkins on Overdrive on TSN 4, TSN 50, the TSN app, and your home speakers. Back on Overdrive, TSN 1050, TSN 4 until 6 o'clock, then on TSN 2 on your TSN app and your home speakers. Gord Miller sitting in for Brian Hayes, who is not feeling well today. So we wish him...
Friday.
Yep. We wish him a speedy recovery.
You're right, though, Gord. Like, I never remember, like, a Tuesday...
Wednesday
and the guy behind the glass isn't, they're all the same. It's everyone. It's like Fridays. No, can't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I take heat because I take two personal days a year.
Well,
a year.
I think they're more than that.
I don't need it. I just, after like 6 or 7 weeks on the go, I just need
okay.
a Friday off.
That's
I don't think that's outrageous.
There was a stretch. Do you hear me out? There was a stretch last year where Friday at 3:50, the internet was going down on your in your building, and I don't know if you were like having your cat going.
But that's not my fault. There was
a
bunch of times. I live in a very windy area. Ask the Grappler.
So the
sometimes
wind just blows in at 3:55.
I'm sorry. The wind knocks your internet out.
Dude, I have no idea, but I would never sabotage
Do you have windmill powered internet? Is that where
Gord, I would never sabotage my equipment to not work.
No.
Okay?
No, I'm not accusing it. That's why I was like, hear me out. I'm having some fun with this. But there was
Noodles. There was a couple times where I told the Grappler, I'm like, listen, man, it's Friday. Yeah. I'm giving this two more tries to connect, and if it ain't working, I'm out of here.
By the way, why is it you guys get to stay home, and I, who have been here at this company for 31 years, have to come in to the studio on a Friday afternoon?
Gord, I don't know what you're thinking, I'm never going back in there. What email I get, I'm never going back in there. Traffic, nonsense in the weather, who wants to drive to work? I'll just make something up if they tell me to go in there because I'm not going back in there.
So honestly, like, why did I take Steph's call this morning? Why did I take this call this morning?
I don't know.
Like, what was I thinking?
I was there when she was like, I got to call Gord. Hayes is not feeling well.
It is fun to be on with you guys. And we're going to have Ross Atkins, the Jays general manager, on in a moment. Still to come, Brian Burke just after 5 o'clock. Pierre LeBrun just after 6. Leo Routens will talk to us. We'll give away Leafs tickets for a December 1st game against Colorado. And we'll have our NFL picks. We got to talk about that because that's... All of a sudden, Al's brother's in here causing trouble, and apparently I'm getting dragged into making NFL picks, which I'm, you know.
Hayes?
Well, I'm not sure. I don't know what's going on. Like, I can't get a straight answer out of
Grappler?
Well, see, here's the weird thing. Jamie, how long have we worked together?
Well, 6, 7, 8 years.
When have I ever called you Noodles?
You don't.
I don't know why. I don't call the Grappler. I call him by his first name, which, are we allowed to say your first name on the air?
Yes, you are.
Keith.
I don't even know his
Thank you for
like
asking.
Like it was some kind of magic mystery that's
yeah,
been
like,
uncovered.
Yeah, like there's some sort of some mystique about the Grappler. Yeah. But I don't know why I don't call people by their nicknames. It's a weird thing. But anyway, so I'm not sure how I get dragged into the NFL picks thing because I think at one point, weren't you firing Al's brother? Like when
yes.
I was here.
Gord, like, we've had a massive comeback. And I'm just going to keep this simple so everybody is on the same page here. Hayes, you have Gord's phone number. Text him your picks, whatever you're picking, and Gord's going to relay the message. And if you don't do that, Gord is going to have to make the selection for you, and you're going to have to live with
the result. Who made you the commissioner?
I'm just saying. I'm not going to deal with the Grappler and who JP behind the glass. It's like it's very simple, this stuff.
Okay.
We don't have to make it complicated. When it's time for the picks, it's either Hayes is texting you the pick or you're doing it for him. Very simple.
Okay, fine. I do make NFL picks on the weekend, but I just haven't looked at it yet.
Your name has been thrown out several times because
we've had some tough stretches.
When O was thinking about putting Al's brother on waivers, and he was like, "Let's get Gordon Miller." "Call Gordon Miller right now."
Is that because I'm an inveterate gambler?
I don't know what it is, but every time I say tomorrow let's have Gordon Miller in there, I see Al's brother sitting there. So I'm like, I guess this is just not happening. And no matter what happens, I'm stuck with the guy. But I will say he is completely redeeming himself lately.
Yes.
I believe our record is 23-30, which isn't terrible. Not great, but not terrible. We had a big win last night.
Okay, so what's the score? What's the overall score? Do we know?
I just told you, 23-30.
23.
You're 23-30 overall, not since you put him on waivers.
Yeah,
that's
overall.
But that's a bad record. Ross Atkins doesn't want a 23-30 record anytime.
No, and right? Speaking of which, thank you, Jamie. Ross Atkins, the Blue Jay general manager, joins us now. Ross, thank you for joining the Calamity. We're glad to have you along. We want to start first of all. I think we need to talk about the big news yesterday: Jose Berrios signing what is kind of a 7-year extension, but actually a 6-year extension because you wiped out the last year of his deal for next year. How significant is this signing for you?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Good to hear everybody's voice. It's been a great couple of days just to, get that extension done. It's a significant milestone for the organization. Obviously a very big commitment on Rogers Communications' behalf and Edward Rogers and of course the Toronto Blue Jays. So for us to get to the point where we have the reasons to acquire, the talent to acquire, and the ability to transition a player of this caliber well into an environment that he's excited about. And don't get me wrong, it's easy to get excited about Toronto and Canada. But coming into a team that he immediately embraced, and the fans and the team embraced him, and now we have an extension is a really good occurrence for the organization, and we're glad we're here.
So, I want to phrase this properly. Berrios, it seemed like, wasn't willing to commit to Minnesota long term. What does it say about the organization that he's willing to commit here long term?
Well, I mean, I can only speak for, what he's shared with me about his willingness to commit here. And I think the things that resonated with him were his teammates, obviously resources, the city, the country. He made that very clear yesterday. The environment that has been created here over time from, Charlie Montoyo, our pitching coaches, all of our staff, the performance staff. He's hyper focused on his preparation, on his recovery. Obviously, the competitiveness part is obvious to everyone, but we have incredible resources for him to take advantage of, from a facility standpoint to nutritionists, psychologists, therapists. Our medical staff has really grown out well. So I think he just appreciated all of the things that I've mentioned and did feel a connection to the team and to the city and to the country.
Ross, it's obviously an unbelievable situation for Robbie Ray winning the Cy Young. When it comes to a player like that who has that breakout year kind of later into his career, how difficult is that to kind of judge moving forward as far as a contract? And it might not necessarily be his situation right now, but just the whole situation involving the player and the year he had at the particular time in his career.
Difficult for us or for him? Is it difficult for
you?
For us?
I mean, just to weigh that, moving 5 or 6 years down the line after the breakout year this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a good question. I mean, the thing that is so attractive about Robbie is the competitiveness, the big, huge moments, how big he was for us this year. He really was a stopper for us. In times when we needed a big star, we got it from him. And man, I'm so glad that, he was here for the last year and a half or a year and the time at the end of the 2020 season. As we sort through that, he's still young. He's obviously been durable. The stuff is clearly still there. The effectiveness is clearly still there. So I think he's got, a very, you know, bright future ahead of him. And how you factor in some of the volatility is, you know, that's, you know, that you obviously the pitcher or the player would always prefer that there was never any volatility, but that's what we do. You know, that's what we do for a living, and, you know, spend a lot of time thinking about that and how to value it. And that's what will ultimately determine, not the volatility, but what will ultimately determine if there is an avenue for him to come back here is lining up in value. That's the hard part. So we can come up with our way to place a value on your question. It's, does it line up with how the market sees it, with how Robbie sees it? And then there's always personal desires and interest.
Ross, how impressed have you been with the development of Alek Manoah? And are there going to be any workload limits for him during his first full major league season?
Yeah, man, he's special. I was just texting with his agent right before this call, and he's... He
announce
is,
Ross. You got to announce something. Anything.
Yeah, man. He's been awesome. And you know, workload wise, I think he overcame the biggest hurdle this year because of the missed time in 2020 without the minor league season, only pitching at the alternate site, and then coming into this year, that was the biggest jump. So next year's jump could be absolutely manageable, and we don't expect to have any limits.
You know, it's interesting, Ross, when you talk about free agency, and it's obviously there's an element of risk and unknown in it, but is there a B plan? Are you starting to formulate a B plan if Robbie Ray and Marcus Semien don't re-sign here?
Well, I mean, it's not a – we always have to have alternative strategies. So working through – you know, all of those, whether it's free agent or via trade, we have to understand all of those avenues. And we've spent countless hours on that over the last several months, and we'll continue to work on which strategies fit and which strategies, you know, are going to align with your alternatives.
Ross, how difficult is this phase of the season, probably the most demanding for you? Like, take us behind the scenes. Is like, are you up at all hours of the night, like getting a gauge on different things that are going on or different players moving elsewhere? Is it stressful? Is it kind of cool to be engaged in it? Like, what's it like?
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. It really is. And, of course, it's very stressful. I think the most stressful nature of it is that we're dealing with human beings. And so every time that I'm speaking on the radio to you guys, I know I'm talking to our fans most importantly, but our players are listening and their agents are listening and other teams are listening to every word that we say as we're doing across other markets. So that's the really stressful part. Obviously, there's the obvious stressors of the desire to win and to fulfill that goal for our fans and for our players. But balancing all of those things is the stressful part. The excitement part is always there. It is absolutely very rewarding, very fulfilling. And the better we get, the more difficult it really becomes. You know, I think we have done a lot of work, but taking this next step is a very, very important part of our plan and our vision. And as you do take those next steps, there's so many different avenues to do that. So we have, you know, people courting us as we're courting others. We're a very attractive landing spot for free agents, and you know, other teams are interested in a lot of our players as well, and know that we're motivated to do everything we can to take that next step. So there's not a team we're not talking to, and there's not an agent we're not talking to, which does make the workload significant.
Ross, catching prospect Gabriel Moreno is turning heads in the Arizona Fall League. What needs to happen for him to crack next spring's opening day roster?
You know, it's interesting. It's similar because of the missed time with him. He didn't get to play much in 2020, and then he had an injury this year, but nothing has slowed him down. So I think it's just doing it for a little bit more sustained time. He's going to go down to Venezuela and get more at-bats there, which I'm really excited about. And, you know, really looking forward to him being in spring camp next year. He busted our eyes wide open the last couple of years, and I think he's going to continue to do that. He's just such a pure hitter. There's not much he's lacking defensively, but the demands of that position from a leadership and communication standpoint will be that next hurdle for him. And then obviously with an offensive player, you want to ensure that they have the ability to recover if they do struggle and fail. And what is his routine? What's his process? How does he get back to that swing path? And, you know, those will be things that we're looking to refine and finish off. But that's a good position to be in as young as he is and as little as he's played.
Ross, thanks for talking to us. If you think being a guest on Overdrive is stressful, try guest hosting it sometime. It's
right, you guys are without your captain.
The captain's on the DL, Ross.
Yeah. You know, imagine Ross. Imagine having an employee that just every Friday or only on Fridays he's a little bit under the weather. It's kind of weird around here.
You can't even say he's playing golf today because that would be difficult.
That's exactly right.
We're not sure. He probably is legitimately sick, but you know, we might have to take a second opinion here. Ross, thanks for talking to us, and continued good hunting.
All right, Gordon. No dog. Thanks, guys.
All right.
See ya.
There's Ross Atkins, the GM of the Toronto Blue Jays. When we come back, let's give away Leaf tickets. We like giveaways, right? So we've been asked, what's that? Oh,
how come we never like get the guy to call in and let's talk to him? Like, well, you got to answer a question.
So that's what I said before the show because I want to find. He's going
to Noodles and Haze. I swear to God, Gord, if another human being that wasn't a part of the company wanted to call in, they would throw off their headphones and walk out the door. They want no part of it. Let's do a get the guy call in, like old school radio, have a trivia question.
What do you think, Keith? You want to have the winner?
I'm shutting that down right away because I worry about, I don't know, there's a lot of excitement that comes with winning Leaf tickets, and so? I worry about what gets said on air, and it's something I'd just rather not deal with.
Keith, bleep it out. Look who's on with us. Look who I'm on with. Look at these two guys. You're worried about some guy calling in?
They're seasoned vets. They know better.
It's Friday afternoon at 4:45. There's a guy that is oiled now that's going to call in and win.
I'm going to say this right now. I'm overruling you. We are having the winner on the air.
He goes on air or not. So you can say you're going to overrule me as much as you want.
Until
we actually lock him in, he's not going on air.
You.
The grappler just King Daddy toppered you.
We'll see about that. There's more to come. Brian Burke at the top of the hour. Our NFL picks, Pierre LeBrun, Leo Rutans, all coming up on Overdrive. We're off the rails already. TSN 4, TSN 1050 on the app and on your home speakers. Brian Hayes has taken it to its outer extremes. He's not feeling well today. So he's on the DL today. What's up? Oh,
that's just gutless. It's a gutless.
If you're sick, though,
it's not gutless.
Well, I was
going to
say if you're sick, you shouldn't come in, but he doesn't come in. So I guess if you can't talk, you can't talk. So
you know what, though, he needs a day off. He's been out. He's been grinding it out since like July.
Yeah, he's been going hard. We've made an editorial decision here. I am going to make picks. In the NFL picks, I'm going to pick for Hayes. He has not texted yet.
He texts me. I'll relay them to you.
He's already texted.
We'll get it all sorted out. But I've got his selections. They're the same as yours.
How about we do this? Well, I'll make my pick, and if he agrees, that'll be the pick. How's that?
Perfect.
How's that sound? Okay.
Perfect.
All week long, we've been giving you clues to the identity of a current or ex-Leafs player. So we have a pair of tickets to see the Leafs versus Colorado on Wednesday, December 1st. So today you have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Okay? Be first to answer correctly, and you and a friend will head to the game, and we're going to put you on the air. Keith is shaking his head. No, we are putting you on the air. I promise. Okay, you ready? Here's the clue. This former Maple Leaf was the first Leafs player ever to score a goal in each of his first four games of the team. This former Leaf was the first player ever to score a goal in each of his first four games with the team. Call now, 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. First right answer wins two tickets to the Leafs against the Avalanche on December the 1st.
Do you know who it is, Gord?
I do, yeah.
Well, who is it?
I'm not going to say it because people are phoning. I can't do that. People are phoning in. We have to make sure we have a correct winner. We have to make sure we have the winner with the right answer. And then we're going to put that person, man or woman, on the air. and congratulate them, even though they might be excited and overly jubilant. We're gonna roll the dice because we have their phone number,
right.
and put them on the air. Do we have a winner yet, Keith? He's talking. We have a winner.
He's not choosing a winner now because he's mad at us.
Do we have a winner? Oh, but can I say what the right answer is now? We have a winner. Okay, the right answer is Clark MacArthur.
Ah.
Clark MacArthur, who now lives in Florida and plays golf 3-4 times a week with Michael Jordan and Wayne Gretzky, who's just moved to Florida.
Wow.
So Jordan, Clark MacArthur is a mutual friend who plays golf with Michael Jordan, and MacArthur was out there playing with his buddy, and Jordan joined them, and Jordan liked him, and so he's part of Michael Jordan's, like, foursome. Plays golf with him all the time.
I wonder if he gets into the, like, MacArthur made some money, but
No. Like, and he's good. Like, MacArthur's like a one handicap.
Oh, okay. Well, he might be dipping into his pocket then.
So, Keith, who's our winner? Oh, 1 second. I got the just a second here. So we have a winner though, on Clark MacArthur, who scored his first four games as a Leaf, and of course, you know, later injury problems shortened his career. Terrific player. Played for Canada, the World Junior Championship.
Yeah, man. Very likable person. He seems like he played. I haven't heard that name in a while, and he's not an old guy, but it seems like he played such a long time ago.
All right. So, yeah. Keith, do we have a winner? We have our winner?
Yeah, we have a winner.
What's the name?
Ben Duroche.
And where's Ben? Is he on the phone now?
No, he's gone. He didn't want to come and talk with us.
What?
That's what he said. He didn't want to come on. What do you want me to tell
you're
you?
You're lying.
Hang on.
Lying.
No chance. He's lying. No chance a guy had a chance to come on the show, and he said no thanks.
It's almost as if I forgot to talk to him about it.
Yeah, I got him.
You know what? This is ridiculous. This is open defiance. Yeah. Is what this is.
But hold on. If what I was doing is open defiance, then what was you overruling me?
Well, I have the right to overrule you.
But I have the right to overrule you back.
We can do this all day. Hang on. I want to call him back and bring him on because I don't think this is. You have his phone number, right?
No.
Well, how are you going to?
Yes, I have the phone. We're not calling him back.
Drop it, Gord. Wow. It's never going to happen. Wow. He is afraid to death of this guy screaming into his telephone, although there is a delay. It's just not happening. I try every week, I think I try with these guys.
Really?
But there is never callers coming.
I got to give Keith credit because, you know, like he's standing for his principles. He's like he's digging in. Now, sometimes he digs in and he's wrong. We've had some fights about this, but you do dig in. So I'll give you credit for that.
Thank you, Gord. I appreciate that. No, listen, as the esteemed regular host of this show says, even when he's off, the show doesn't change.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Oh, my God, I can't do it. I can't hear that type of crap.
You're not calling in sick for hour two, are you?
Grappler, what does that mean exactly? That when he's off, he still wants it the way he wants
it? If Hayes was on the show, there's no way we're putting any kind of contest winner on, correct?
Well, can you explain why? Why would he not want to have a guy call in?
Because he'd rather you guys talk, which I think is fair. I'd rather listen to the three of you, wouldn't
I? I'm against callers. Full disclosure, I'm against callers because...
But I think callers give you free content. They come in, they have a hot take, they have a positional thing, they say, get rid of this guy. And you could say, shut up and hang up on the guy. It's not like you have to talk to him.
Yeah, but then you're being rude. What I'm saying...
So what?
Your first experience on air was what? After Leaf games, correct? The pre and post with the Tat Man, correct?
Right.
I get it. I had to deal with Ron from Port Colborne every night. He was crushed. He had 30 Ryan Cokes and topped it off with a couple pints, and I had to talk to him every night. And he would be so gooned on his chair, but he would sometimes just say, you know, he'd have a point, and you either like it or not, and then you get to a point. But you would hope that between 4 and 7, no one is going to be crushed to call into this show to have a hot take.
Well,
I don't know.
Well, you know what? My picks are not looking good because I'm already 0-1 today. So still to come on the show, Brian Burke coming up just after the top of the hour. We'll talk about his Pittsburgh Penguins. We're here to face the Leafs tomorrow. Also, we got Pierre LeBrun at 6:05 to talk about what's going on in the NHL. Leo Routens on the Raptors in the NBA. And we'll have our NFL picks at 5:30. And that's going to be another debacle. So... that's all coming up. Buckle up for Overdrive, TSN 4, TSN 1050, the app, and on your home speakers.
This hour of the Overdrive podcast was brought to you by Felix. Erectile dysfunction treatment online. Felix can connect you to a doctor to assess ED and, if applicable, deliver treatment to your door. Visit felix.ca.